This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. You're listening to Newsmakers, and thanks for joining us. This is your noon hour. We're here every weekday to talk about things having to do with Marion and Polk County and Salem and Kaiser communities, initiatives, individuals, ideas, and institutions. This is the place for the talk.
The talk.
Today. And the
Excuse
info.
Me, Brent. We're going to have a talk.
We're going to have a talk. Today we got a great guest. Today I've wanted him on for a long time. A friend of mine served with him on Salem City Council. I left him behind, and he's still there, towing the rope. He's been there for 19 years. Councilor Brad Nanke. Applause from the studio audience.
An institution. Yes, an institution.
Institution. Welcome to the studio, Brad.
Great to be here
again.
It's
great to have you. I get so used to you being as this reliable stalwart on the Salem City Council. And just so you know, when I try to stay out of too many bitches and moaning about our elected leaders, except the city council.
It's but daily.
I'm excluding you when I'm complaining about the council. You have a pragmatic. I like your pragmatic approach to things. He's very even keeled, thinks things through, and he's got this nice libertarian streak in him.
Yeah, kind of like you,
which I share.
Yes, definitely.
Anyway, Brad, thanks for joining us. I know that we have to start the hour talking about and sharing our loss with Jackie Winters.
That was
Senator
so Jackie devastating.
Winters.
Very sad.
We all knew her and loved her. We've had her on Newsmakers.
I was looking forward to her coming back.
I know.
I made a new friend when she was here.
Senator Winters is actually responsible for me hosting Newsmakers.
Right?
Yeah. She's the one that put the bug in ear of the station owner saying, you know, I think you should talk to Brent DeHart about a show. So nice. Thank you, Jackie, for that. And what a horrible loss for the state of Oregon.
Yes.
Not just her family, her friends, her supporters, her constituents, but the entire state. We lost a treasure trove of experience and knowledge and care unequaled probably in the history of Oregon.
Yeah, that institutional knowledge again. And she served us so very well. And I've known her for probably 20 years and was always there to, you know, bounce things off of and you know, change your perspective sometimes based on looking at the entire picture.
When she came on the show, she could pull up memories and incidents and situations going back to 1970 and beyond. So we were looking at almost 50 years of Oregon, active in Oregon, governor's office, in the community, small business owner, legislator, and so forth.
Yeah. And make her of fine ribs.
And make her of fine ribs.
And she's a no-nonsense speaker, too. She would just lay it out there for you.
This is what it is.
And
right?
I like that about her. Yeah. I like that.
All right. Hopefully we'll have some time in future shows to give her a proper discussion and talk about her full legacy as we gather more information after her loss. But thoughts going out to family and the Senate.
Yeah,
all the constituents and all of Oregon. She served us so well. All right, Brad, let's talk about you. Brad Nanke, you're a city councilor, city of Salem. You've been there since 2001. You got sworn in.
Correct.
And your current term takes us to the end of 2020. That's quite a run.
It is.
You broke some records.
Some people say it's a record. I don't know. I've never seen the full listing because it's hard for me to imagine that there hasn't been someone that served for at least 20. And as part of the League of Oregon Cities and being on their board of directors, there's, you know, mayors that have been out there for 24 years in some of the smaller towns. So it kind of boggles my mind that in the early days of Salem, there weren't people who at least served 20 years.
Yeah. Well, it takes a certain kind of person to have that much patience, right?
Well, being able to compartmentalize. and move from one issue to the next.
It can be overwhelming. It's like we were talking about the school board candidates, and sometimes you're there and you're going to make a bunch of people mad. So way to volunteer, get no money, make a bunch of people mad when you have to make a tough decision.
Well, yeah, and typically it's at least half of the city isn't happy with you. A lot of times more than that.
Yeah.
But we have the ability as a city council to affect people's lives much more than state and federal government. And a lot of people just don't seem to realize that. We can tell you if you can have chickens, how high your fence can be, mm-hmm. whether or not you can use plastic bags, apparently, mm-hmm. And force a store to actually charge you for them and get inside of their business operations, which to me is still unconscionable.
And we can decide whether or not you're going to build infrastructure for the traffic infrastructure for the next generation or not.
Yes.
Like the branch.
You can decide that for the entire region, despite any number of cost and time. All right, let's talk about some issues real quick before we take our first break. Water, because you were telling me before the show that you just had a meeting on the water situation. Army Corps of Engineers were discussing it this week, and the meeting was in Gates.
Yeah, Gates Fire Hall last night. It was the first of three meetings, bringing forth their preferred construction alternative for the temperature control structure and the fish capture for downstream. And a lot of very happy people up in the canyon.
Oh, bet.
Because the preferred alternative is to work in the wet. And so there will be no drawdown outside of what the standard, and they call it a rule curve. It's where the level of the reservoir needs to be at any given time of year to have capacity for water storage to prevent flooding.
Uh-huh.
And to have full pool through the summer for recreation purposes.
Okay, can I ask a dumb question? Why can't they work only when the lake is drained?
Oh, and they can, but we still need to be able to get down to the penstock. So they're still going to be, 300 feet underwater to set the base of the unit. And originally it was going to be separate and standing away from the dam wall itself. And now they're actually going to connect it onto the side.
Okay, well, so that can't be constructed during...
They can.
Okay.
But you still have to be, a few hundred feet underwater because the level never gets lower than that. And one of the concerns with draining it and drawing it down more than what is typical is that then you have a bunch of sediment that may be released and gets in and messes with the city's slow sand filtration system.
Okay.
Also, you potentially run into the situation where you don't have enough flow in the river to actually have Salem be able to withdraw to provide drinking water to 180,000 people.
Yeah, you got to have a certain level for that to suck out the water.
That's slightly important. We're talking to Brad Nanke, City Councilor, Ward 3 of the City of Salem, about water and the Army Corps of Engineers. Are you satisfied? How confident, I guess, is the big question in a lot of people's minds, that it's actually going to help in terms of our fish runs and preserving fish from becoming extinct?
Well, and we really don't have a choice in the matter. The biological opinion that was put out in 2008 said the National Marine Fisheries Service, so NMFS.
okay.
And the Army Corps of Engineers is just taking instruction from the bureaucracy as well, and they are required to construct temperature control structure and find a means to actually allow downstream fish passage.
Mm-hmm.
We actually put in the Minto collection facility where we're capturing the adults and moving them up past the dam and into the system. But the little ones can't get down without, doing like a 500-foot free fall. And so their mortality isn't very good going back down.
We'll have natural selection for only the thrill-seeking little fish.
Sure, yeah.
Well, the other issue was the sea lions as well.
Oh, yeah, right.
At the falls. And actually, there was a representative from Fish and Wildlife there last night, and I think they've removed 34
of those fish eaters.
Of those fish eaters that have been there for a long time, the same individuals. And so they're all gone right now. They're out in California or Mexico in their breeding grounds.
Oh, really?
So they'll be back, and so they'll keep an eye on them. And they actually have seen the numbers increase just with that reduction in predation.
I was thinking that they were going to cull them and wondered what they taste like. What does a sea lion taste like?
It's a lot of blubber. So
yeah, you would imagine.
Yeah.
Lamps.
They taste like lamp.
All okay. right. Well, thank you for doing that. This project to move forward, and Salem won't have so many worries about our drinking water supply, and Detroit will be saved and not lose their summer sessions and so forth.
Yeah.
It'll just cost a whole lot of money.
It will. But
same amount of money as, another bridge.
Building in the wet actually will cost about an extra $100 million than their other options, but it saves about $250 million in negative economic impact for recreation, water users, irrigators. Again, 30,000 acres, I think like 850 farmers. And a lot of those crops are perennials, so blueberry bushes, nut trees. So if they die, it's not like I can replant next year and have crops again.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about bond measures that might come up in the future, the current budget that's going to be approved next month, what special committees that Councilor Nanke is serving on, and so forth, including the Finance Committee and saving some money there. So stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Hamblin's Nursery.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart. In the studio today, we have City Councilor Brad Nanke, City Councilor Extraordinaire Brad Nanke. So we want to
Does
talk
his
a little
title
bit.
Title keep changing
about,
or for some reason?
We're just going to keep throwing the accolades upon him. We're just going to stroke
the
him.
Queen wave here.
We're going to elect him for life. So doesn't know it yet. He's going to come to council one day, and there's going to be a resolution, and he's never going to get out.
This special chair with the lockable seatbelt, right?
Hey, let's talk a little bit about the budget, because I know we're wrapping up the budget season, and your thoughts on it, because we hear a little bit from the mayor, but your thoughts on how it went with proposed cuts, with the city manager's preparation, any compromises that happened, what should the citizens be happy about or be expecting moving forward?
Sure. And June 10th, the budget is slated to come to council for final approval. So that'll be an interesting meeting. There was really our first year of using a new budgeting philosophy, and so it was kind of different. It was, rather than, you know, by department, it was broken down into what our strategic plan lists out. So good governance, environment, sustainable finances, and it was an interesting process.
Totally different format.
100% different. Fewer meetings, and during the course of, you know, my 19 years, they tend to get shorter, always less and less meetings, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. There was a, you know, reductions, and we see it. A lot of people compare it to Thelma and Louise going over the cliff, but we're driving parallel to the cliff. Because we need to maintain a certain ending fund balance. And we've been eating into that heavily. They're estimating that we need $7 to $8 million more a year to keep the same level of services we have there. And so there were cuts put in place. I would have preferred to see more cuts this year.
So you're riding along the cliff to make
hang
sure
on. How is it that we need to have $7 to $8 million more to maintain what we have now?
Because the revenues and expenditures are not in balance.
Ah.
And that's, we in Salem, as compared to some of the other jurisdictions.
You made Brent laugh.
Well, 30% of our property isn't on the property tax rolls because it's government.
Yeah.
We also, because of measures 5, 47, and 50, where they lock the property taxes, they locked it at less than what it cost to, you know, for labor increases on an annual basis.
Doesn't keep up with labor labor and benefits.
And, you know, the league has been pushing, well, at least 10, 15 years to fix the property tax system. When it came through, I voted for it because I was getting 13% hits a year.
Wow.
but it's had a lot of unintended consequences. And they just swagged it when they locked those rates. So Eugene has, you know, $2 to $3 more per thousand valuation than what Salem gets. And the counties that are out there, some of them had timber revenue and they had zero permanent tax rate. And as that timber revenue went away, that's why you have one sheriff driving around on the southern border of, of Oregon.
Like Josephine County and Jackson County, they were really struggling.
And
Polk County as well.
And it, you know, gentrification. So like the Pearl District up in Portland, and we have them here, where in Salem, you have two houses that are identical value and one will pay $2,000 less in property taxes a year.
Because of when it was built.
Because of what its value was at the time when they froze it.
Oof.
So, and there's no reset at sale. When a new property comes on the tax rolls, it doesn't even get taxed at its current value. It's a county average. So they need to fix it. And I know the concerns from the Republican side was, how do you control the beast if you kind of let it out of the box?
Yeah.
But we need to fix it. And in Salem's case, we're $6 to $8 million a year under what it costed to provide the same level of services. And so we're going to be looking at June 17th. We have another work session on revenue.
New revenues for the city.
New revenues.
Okay, I think to Dave's question is that they're spending more than they're bringing in every year.
Mm-hmm.
And
they've
been able to survive it because they had ending balance. They had the carryover balance, but that's withering away.
And, you know, because several people, it's like, well, why? We never go over it. We just see that out there at 5 years where we go over the cliff. Yeah, but some years we've actually let go 60 employees from the city of Salem. It's a zero sum game. Yeah. It's like, I have this much money, I can spend this much money, I'm required to keep at least this level. And as part of the finance committee, it's like we put those policies in place on what percentage we should have in different budgets. And we are going underneath the council recommended ending fund balance policy this year. And if we do nothing and kept city running at its current level, it will be gone in 2 years.
Let me put you on this spot and see if you know this. The carryover, the projected or the target carryover balance, what percentage of the annual budget is it? Do you have a target? You
want 10.
10. Okay. Because
it might have even moved up a little bit from that. I know it was at 10 one time. We're actually going to be sitting at about $10 million in our general fund, I think, is in the like $140 million range.
We were talking about the state budget a week or so ago here on Newsmakers, and they have 16%. And you wonder, why are they passing $5 billion of taxes?
Right.
And they're carrying over 16%. It's pretty healthy.
Anyway, I wish I could do
totally
that.
Totally different
home.
Topic. Yeah.
And so, you should be.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Your emergency fund. It's like, because you never know.
Yeah, that's right.
So you mentioned the finance committee. So you've been serving on that for
actually the first year I got on council, it was the audit committee back then. So it was just looking at the independent auditor's report as it came in and doing a couple things here and there. And several years after that, it turned into the finance committee where we still did audit pieces, but then worked on other policies, setting those preferred targets for set aside contingencies. Looking at different revenue sources. A couple of years ago, we actually hired a private entity to come in and manage our investments as well, because we do have those ending fund balances. Mm-hmm. And so it's always a question of, do I lock this money up for a long time, which isn't necessarily a good thing if you need it to be more liquid. And so they were able to actually take advantage of more targeted opportunities, and we're actually making a lot more money that money than what we were able to do as a city.
Councilor Nenke is here in the studio with us, and thank you for that. And what I just heard is we outsourced some expertise, and we
are making more money.
We made more money.
Nice.
Right? I like it. So, yeah.
And we've done a lot of things to cut budgets and what have you as well, but it's not sustainable right now, and that's kind of what we're looking at is, how do you balance that?
Yeah.
How about
services versus
propose a fix on the property tax thing.
Well, we have been working in the legislature. It kind of starts going somewhere and then it kind of dies off. They had a homesteading exclusion to where, okay, we'll charge you this and give you this much back. And they keep going around in circles on that. But we need to fix it because it's broken through the state. And there's some seriously negative consequences because of the way the system is designed right now.
Yeah, we talk about institutional knowledge with Senator Winters. We have it in spades in Councilor Nenke as well. Because you serve League of Oregon Cities and you serve on the legislative committee, right?
Yep.
So does the city have its own lobbyist? Do they hire a lobbyist once they've formed legislative goals?
Yes.
So, and is that the same person that represents the League of Oregon Cities?
No.
Okay, so you have, the Salem has its own.
No, but we do coordinate with the league. Several cities have their own lobbyist staff internally or externally, and it kind of feeling where, because certain things may not impact Salem, but it's just bad for home rule as well, so we may weigh in on that because the government likes to mandate us to do certain things. And
the old preemption of
yes.
A municipal authority. Yeah.
Well, then you get into the whole emergency clause thing. It's like,
everything's an emergency at
the
Capitol.
It is. It's an emergency if you don't want the voters to actually do a referendum on it.
Wow.
Okay, so you were talking about, you can approve the budget, and the next week you're going to be talking about income, revenue measures. Let's get into this a little bit. So what do you think is going to move forward in terms of additional revenue coming into the city? So which one of these measures? We've talked about this with the mayor a little bit.
Right. And so there was consensus amongst the group that was looking at different options to put forward an operating fee and to send that out to the voters. Beyond that, there was also a payroll tax and potentially a gas tax. Gas tax would definitely have to go out to the voters. I think anything we do should go out to the voters. And I was asked, do you think they'll pass it? It's, with a property tax system, it kind of fills that void until we can fix that system. But again, you have to make a strong case because we're talking about $100. A household to get us up to $8 million.
Oh wow, per year,
and that's based on users inside of like the utilities system, because then you could just use that same billing. It saves money rather than having it go through the state, where the state collects it and charges you and then sends you the money.
All right.
As far as the payroll tax portion.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to continue to talk about the city of Salem, potential revenue increases, which means expenditures to use, folks. Revenue increases to the city to try to fill an impending cliff of budgetary shortfall. We've got Brad Nenke here, so stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back to the show, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne in the studio today. City Councilor of the City of Salem, Brad Nenke, representing... What?
Still here.
And representing Ward 3, why don't you talk about the area of town that you represent?
Sure. And it's changed twice since I was elected, actually, because of the census in 2000, reapportionment took place late in 2001, I think it was, might have been early 2002, and I lost 80% of my ward.
What?
During that one.
You're lucky you're still living in it.
Real close to it. Essentially, I was less than a block away from my southern border at the time, and now I'm a block away from my northern border.
Oh, my goodness.
So I lost 80% of my ward. I had 200 voters still inside. But I originally went down to Division, so almost where the new police facility is.
Wow.
And Madrona was my southern border, and now Ratcliffe is my northern border, and I go all the way out to Kubler, and then it necks down like this giant winged bat, and necks down at the railroad tracks and Turner Road, and then opens back up, and I have the Mill Creek Corporate Center. I actually cross Highway 22 coming around the curve, pick up the prison and some residential over along Cordon Road.
What about the airport?
Airport is not in mine. I swing around that airport's word too.
Okay, so going on a little bit of a tangent here, but since we're talking about your ward and you serving, we here at Newsmakers think that a few counselors should be retired. Would you recommend people out there, if there's a listener out there that wants to get involved, would you say it's rewarding, it's worth your time, please serve?
Oh, definitely. And it doesn't take a ton of time. In my early days, it did. We would actually have meetings that went till 1 in the morning. Actually, my latest meeting, I think, ever was 2:30 a.m. We would start public hearings after midnight, which to me is not making it available to the public. But, you know, I ran the meeting this past Monday since the mayor's out of town, and it was actually all three. So Housing Authority, Urban Renewal Agency, and Salem City Council, and we were wrapped up with our business before 7:30.
Wow.
And a 6 o'clock start time.
That's a record of time for the Salem City Council.
You know, a lot of times we're out of there by 8. If we want to go past 10, we actually have to have a majority vote to continue that past that. And in the last 3 or 4 years, we maybe done that twice.
Nice.
And it's only been for like 10 or 15 minutes just to make sure we got some ordinance bills passed through at the end of the meeting.
And some people have to, they have to be educated in terms of, you know, they have to do the reading and maybe go to some subcommittee meetings, maybe go to neighborhood association meetings. But you could do so without, like, being retired. You can totally do this
I look at it
volunteer.
In my early days, and we used to meet every Monday, and the first Monday of the month was a noon meeting, so you, depending on who you were working for, had to take at least half a vacation day. Now we start all of them at 6 o'clock, and like I say, maybe out by 9 typically for an average. So 3 hours a week. It takes longer on your first couple of years till you figure out how a staff report is actually laid out to where what is the meat and what do I really care about inside of this? Because every time it keeps coming back, it gets thicker and thicker and thicker. So, you know, you may have a ream of paper equivalent per week, but once you know how to read those, I could do it in a couple hours.
Yeah. So what kind of characteristics have you enjoyed in fellow counselors that make for a good counselor? I mean, again, I'm fishing out here for our audience members to get involved and step up and run against people who vote no against the bridge primarily.
Yep.
But what kind of characteristics makes for a good counselor?
Well, first off, with very few exceptions, all of the counselors I've served with have a true caring for the position. They think what they're doing is best for the community. And so I have to respect that. Most of the stuff city does is boring stuff. And so the majority of our votes are unanimous. And then you get into those finer pieces of policy, which is where the differences come in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'll say it's not partisan, but it really is. When you get to those elements, and so it's understanding the issues. That gets back to the whole question of what do I think is effective, and so I bring my history in with me, and effective is, you know, minimizing the impacts of government on the citizens, being responsible with our finances.
Mm-hmm. Good stewardship.
What I've seen is people who actually study the material, ask questions before the meeting, which is one of the reasons why the meetings are short now, because you're not sitting there asking staff questions that everybody else knows the answer to, and the meeting runs for an extra hour so they can explain it to a single counselor.
Who didn't do their homework.
Do your homework. Talk to the people. Again, it's a representative form of government. Does that mean I have to do everything that my constituents tell me to do? And that's hard because our voter turnout is abysmal, and you hear from the people who typically don't like something, but people who are okay with it don't contact you. So it's a judgment call from a counselor. And so a lot of times I have to go back with, I laid who I am out for you to vote for me, and that's what I'll be. So it makes it very difficult.
I think my own editorial in here, but I think people who run should not be like issue activists.
Right.
You're there to do a lot of things that are boring. We're talking about what streets should be paved, right? We're talking about having water and sewer and a lot, you know, very practical things of city governments that, and they don't, so people that come in and want to make a statement about national, international matters really kind of, to me, that wastes of city time. I want you to run my municipality. I got a little municipality in this corner of the country and I want you to run the city. The people will go in there and want to do something that they think is going to affect the president's policies or saving the earth. I don't know. I just don't think that that serves us well.
And again, even those who may be looking to run, it can't be all I care about is the bridge, because there's a lot more than a bridge potential.
Mm-hmm.
And so depending on what one's knowledge base is and understanding of the city in general and going out and talking to people, because the majority of the decisions you're going to make, again, are street-related, being equitable as far as the provision of public services across all sectors of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And, most people get involved in politics on the upfront because of a specific issue, and myself included, because I thought the city was doing something untoward, and actually I filed suit against them back then.
What?
Yeah.
When was this? What did we miss? What did I miss?
Pedestrian safety bond measure.
Oh.
A lot of my neighbors up on 12th Street wanted sidewalks for, and the bond measure had passed with a very slim majority, and then the city came in and said, we're going to take these other bond monies from 3 years previous, and we're going to blow out your intersection to 5 or 6 lanes,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of my neighbors weren't very happy with. And that's how I got involved and into the Neighborhood Association program. So a lot of times it's people get involved because of that one issue.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, I've been involved, chaired the bond committee for public works, streets and bridges.
Uh-huh.
And so also wastewater and water task force. So full spectrum across.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a couple of years for people to even come up to speed on those recurring things we do every year.
Yeah. I remember I got to serve on a sidewalk utility fee task force. And that was an interesting experience. But prior to being a city councilor, and sometimes I get a little too blunt, apparently, or too still like it is.
So
like, okay, folks, let's just, I remember, because there was a formula and who was going to be charged what for sidewalks.
Mm-hmm,
right. And I said, come on, face it, folks. What you're trying to do is shift the cost from the people that use the sidewalks to the people you want to have pay for the sidewalks. This is a caution. Well, no, it's not my. Yeah, it is. But whatever. Anyway, that was interesting.
Well, even with the city operating fee, it's like homeowners or households would pay $100, and then commercial, industrial, institutional, and public buildings are all $900 a year.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Going back to the revenue increases they're looking at, gas tax sounds like from what the mayor says, it's unlikely that that'll move forward.
And the city manager didn't recommend either the.
The gas tax
or the payroll tax.
Okay. And what is the knock on the payroll tax?
That the state has to collect it. There's still, we don't have good information on exactly how it would work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then equity across the system as well.
Yeah. So we do have a payroll tax. If you're not familiar, we have one now that employees pay that pays for transit.
Right.
Right. So that would be very similar for work that was earned in the city limits of City of Salem. And then that would be taxed to the employees. And the one positive thing about it is that the people that live up the highway, come down to Salem, work mm-hmm. and leave, don't pay any taxes.
Right.
And they would at least pay some taxes for the thousands, tens of thousands of
employees. So the gas tax is supposed to do the same thing for the city?
Gas taxes, if you don't drive, you don't pay the tax. If you have an electric car, you wouldn't pay the tax. So it.
Well, wait, why not?
Because you're not buying gas.
So they're buying electricity.
Right.
Gas
but
makes electricity.
We don't have an electric tax.
Not
switched
yet.
Over that way, yeah. Well, we do have a lot of electric taxes, franchise fees and what have you. And everybody, it's like, raise the franchise fees. And it's like, yeah, but it's the end user that pays all of them. The mm-hmm. the entities that have them in place, you know, the businesses just pass that straight on to the end user.
So the franchise fees are paid by Northwest Natural and PGE and, you know, the power companies, the cable companies that for the right-of-way when they're going underground.
Sure.
And they're all paying the franchise fee. And you see those itemized on all those bills, right, like Councilor Banky is saying. All right, so it sounds like more likely that they'd be interested in moving forward the fee that would go on a utility
the operating fee.
Fee.
And that would be to send that out to the voters. We would have to pick what the rate is. Again, mm-hmm. The recommendation that came out of the Sustainable Services Task Force was $102.
$100 a household.
A household.
Rates the 8 million, and we could stop worrying about falling off the cliff. Let me ask you a quick question. There's 8 city councilors, the city of Salem. There's a mayor, so there's 9 votes. Out of the 9 votes, what would your guesstimation be as for how many would say, yes, we're going to send this to the voters versus no?
That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. That's why I asked it.
I would like to say it would be unanimous.
I would hope so.
If it isn't, a lot of our votes on those much finer points across that aren't the boring unanimous votes are typically in a 6-3 now.
Okay. So it's either you think it's going to flip where the whole block of those 6 might go with it, we'll send it to the voters, so they'll overrule it.
Well, if we tried to inflict that, it would be sent on a referendum, and it would be, I think, very hard for those councilors who wanted to continue on through the next election to actually be elected.
Well, I can think of 2 people that should never be elected again to represent anyone. But my own personal opinion, which fortunately...
How big a soapbox do you need today?
Oh, it's time for a break. We're going to take a quick break. We've got City Councilor Brad Nanke here enjoying his company and learning more about his role at the city. Stick with us. We have one more segment with Councilor Nanke. You're listening to 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne. You're listening to Newsmakers. In the studio with us today is Brad Nanke, city councilor for Ward 3 in the city of Salem. He's been there forever, folks, and we are grateful to him for having done
this. This is the one time when somebody's old in office and you're glad for it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But just Brad.
Just Brad.
Everybody just else, Brad, yeah. Nobody else. Term limits for the rest.
I'll tell a story. I've always liked Brad. I don't know if he's liked me at all at any point in history, but I've always liked him.
Dartoon, he has a fellow Iowanian, you know?
That's right. We have roots in Iowa. So, good Midwestern stuff.
And that's Iowan for those people. Iowanian is much funnier.
Jeez.
I had a good chance to get to know him on a trip to a sister city in South Korea down in 2004 or 2005. And what a great trip. We represented the city well in the mayor's stead. And had some fun as well.
Yeah, and I was president of that group for several years as well.
Yeah, great. Anyway, you know, it goes way back. And so let's talk. We're talking money a lot and taxes and how the city spends our money. The city does have a pretty good track record of being fiscally responsible and prudent and good stewards with their bond measures, right?
Yes.
Would you agree?
Definitely.
Yeah, you've seen a few of them come and go, right?
Well, and we've actually done polling before some of them, and we didn't actually send them out because it looked bad for it. Mm-hmm. We've had a couple of fail, and then you rework those and put them out. The police facility was one of those. We found that citizens really don't like 2 things at once.
Mm-hmm.
We had kids and cops, which were parks and police, mm-hmm. and it failed, and the parks people that were out there were devastated because they put a lot of effort into that.
As did the chamber.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Mike McLaren stumping for that. So what are we looking at moving forward? We're all going to hit the police. We have the bond measure from the school district going to hit our property tax bills. We've got the police bond measure hitting our property tax bills. However, the money from Streets and Bridges 2008 is gone. All those major transportation improvements have been done and the money's spent. The fire trucks need to be replaced about every 10 to 15 years.
And we are coming up.
And are coming
that
up
will
on
have
that.
To be the next one or the next one or two bonds that move out.
So, but we're not talking November 2019.
No, we wouldn't have. Something would have come to us.
Are we talking
to be able to actually get
2020, you know, maybe?
I would say we will have to do something by then. And the Finance Committee, I've been pushing for it. Hopefully it will come to us very soon here now, is what order do we want those bonds to go out in? Mm-hmm. Our practice in the past has always been, as they retire, you add a new one on, keep that dollar value constant for people, which is in my...
Good strategy.
That is a good strategy.
Like, and it's hard to actually educate people on that. It's like, no, your taxes aren't going up. We're trying to keep them the same by backfilling as this one moves off and how you sell that bond off and then pay it off over time. It's like we're going to prepay this one, save some money to give us room to add in a new one and stay on that same flat line for people.
In other words, like as you're paying off your credit card, Dave, and you buy something else, your credit card payment stays the same. Right.
Right.
And so balance. For the city, you know, you've paying off we're paying off the conference center bonds, or you'll be paying off the bonds we issued to build the fire stations. And I mean, with all these huge, like $600 million for the school district and so forth. I look at $24 million for the fire in 2008. It looks tiny in retrospect.
Yeah.
And we got incredible value out of that. We replaced every bit of rolling stock in the entire fire system of the city of Salem, every one of them. Plus, we got, three new stations and rebuilt and emergency power
and seismic
upgrade for $24 million. So, you know. We got a great value. And I think we got a great value of our streets and value.
So we got
bridges as well.
Streets coming up. We have just general government again. We have the police facility out there, the library. Mm-hmm. We have seismic issues at City Hall. We have other city buildings out at shops that are being held up with sticks.
If only you could see the look on the Councilor Yankee's face right now. Like, oh, that looks, it's downright scary
it's like,
out there.
I don't want to be in that building if it ever goes down. Streets, you know, we had, when we passed the last one, $400 to $500 million worth of needs, and we were just under $100 million on that. And we lucked out with the way the recession hit, where we were able to get another 20 plus projects in that same dollar bond measure that came out. And so we need to pick the order that we do those. And then what do we do when one fails?
Yeah, nobody loves having the property tax go up. Nobody loves voting yes to take more money. However, we do love having infrastructure. And I, for one, appreciate when the city has shown itself to be fiscally prudent.
And to keep that layer constant.
Get value for our money.
It's like your taxes aren't going to go up. They're going to be held level.
Level is not bad.
Okay, you get 30 seconds here. Are you happy with the plans for safeguarding our water moving forward? With the toxins and the algae and the new systems.
I still look at it very sad that the communications went out the way they did and that some people refuse to drink city water now and think it's unsafe.
It's terrible. All right, we got to take a break. And it is. It's great water. And it's great water.
It's the end of the show.
It's the end of the show.
Yes.
It's time to go.
It's time to go.
Thanks for being here, Councilor Brad Nanke.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It. We'll have you on again. This has been Newsmakers with Brent and Dave.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.